Well, good morning, and it's good to be here again with you and to share something of God's word with you. And it's a very interesting reading that Paddy read to us, one that has left me somewhat perplexed during the time that I've been reflecting on this. But the more I looked at this passage and the more that I looked at what was happening in the world, the more convinced I became that our world at least seems to be, and I'm thinking it is, getting more messy and uncertain than it ever has been. Certainly in my lifetime, you might be able to remember things different to me, but life seems to be really messy and uncertain at the moment. Are we in Europe or are we out of Europe? I'm not entirely sure right now. Do we have a deal or don't we? There's a sense of uncertainty about our political system. Do we even trust the leaders that we elected? Do they even trust themselves with votes of no confidence? Will there ever be peace in our world? You hear about how Donald Trump wants to pull his troops out of Syria and then his whole cabinet starts resigning, left, right and centre. Will there be peace? Speaking of Mr. Trump, will he ever get his wall? He's asking for $5 billion. The Democrats are saying no. He's saying yes. And the government has shut down in America, or at least part of it has. Third time this year I discovered that that's happened. Will we ever solve the refugee crisis that is right on our doorstep? And perhaps more fun, will there be a white Christmas or not? I think we can be certain of that one this year. I don't think we're going to get a white Christmas this time round. But I started to think, is our world seeming like it is more uncertain because we perhaps have more access to the news and the events of our world than ever before? The news is beamed to our TVs, but you can also get it on your phones. You can even get it on your watches now, if you've got the right kind of watch. You can read about the news on the paper. I love it when my in-laws come to visit because they have vouchers for the Daily Telegraph. It's not necessarily my favourite paper, but it's free when they come up. And then when they go on holiday, they send us the vouchers. I'm not sure if they're supposed to do that, but they do. So we get the Daily Telegraph at the moment. And I love being able to read through that. But not only can you do that, you can go online and read the same stories sooner and quicker than ever before. You can follow breaking news stories on Twitter and Facebook if you happen to be in that, as well as on the television. But the more I think about this and the more I look at what I see around me, you get that sinking feeling that our world is indeed more uncertain than it ever has been, or certainly in my lifetime. Maybe it's just something that comes with age. Maybe when you're younger, you don't notice these things. I don't know. But as human beings, most of us, I think, prefer that sense of certainty in our lives. We like to know a little bit about the future. We like to know what is to come. We want to know that on some level, things will actually be as they always have been. Things will stay the way that we've gotten used to. For example, when a Baptist minister gets up to preach, you know that they will have 3 points to their talk, don't you? That's the tradition anyway. At least that's what I was taught. It's what they've always done. Well, just to prove the point of this uncertain world in which we live, my talk today isn't going to have 3 points. It's going to have 4, because I just like to be rebellious like that. My first point, worldly wonder. In our passage, the disciples were casting their gaze up at the temple and marvelling at its majesty. They were looking at the beauty of a man-made temple with the gifts and the stones and everything that was adorned upon it. This was not what they should have been doing, especially with Jesus in their midst. Of all the people to be looking at the world with, that was not the time to be doing it. Looking at the world and marvelling at our own wonder is not what Jesus expects of us. Jesus wants our gaze to be elsewhere. So I'm just going to move this forward because I'm on the creaky bit of the stage and it's putting me off, even if it's not putting you off. There we go. Last week, Dave encouraged us to look up towards the heavens, to look out at the universe that was created. Did any of you get that opportunity to look up at the stars? Maybe. Well, guess what? Before 7 a.m. on Monday morning, the day after Dave challenged us, I got that opportunity with my two children who'd like to be up nice and early. So on Monday morning, Ginny and Noah were up and we were huddled on our front doorstep. Rachel had already left for work at about 6:15, I think, that morning, and the children were up. So we were sat rather cold, sitting on our doorstep, because as I'd let Rachel out the door and said goodbye, I noticed that there was something really bright shining in the sky, almost directly opposite our house, slightly up above, obviously. There was this bright light. And so I gathered the children, wrapped them up in their dressing gowns, and we sat on the step for a few moments, and we looked at Venus shining brightly in that early morning sky. It was a beautiful sight, and it was a beautiful moment with my children to be able to look up at this wonderful universe that God had created and say to them, that's Venus. It's millions of miles away. I had to guess because I didn't know, and I had, you know, my son probably knows more than I do because he's read all those books. But it's millions of miles away, and yet it's part of our solar system, and it sits with everything else in our solar system and spins just right around our sun. And then there is life here on Earth because God wanted it that way. It was a wonderful moment for me. And then on Friday, as I was coming up here to prepare for Blue Christmas at one point during the early evening, I happened to be coming up, and the moon on Friday evening, before it clouded over, was stunning. It was absolutely beautiful. If I hadn't remembered what David said to look up, I would have missed it. I would have missed this wonderful full moon that had come out on that shortest day and the longest night. Now, unlike the disciples who were admiring something that was created by humans, the children and I saw something that was created by a loving God in heaven. Something amazing. Something wonderful. And this got me thinking, you know, what do we admire? What worldly wonders do we look out for in our world today? Dave hinted at it last week, stars of screen and television. You may not watch Britain's Got Talent. I don't either anymore. I watched, I think, the first few episodes of the first season, but it wasn't my cup of tea. But people watch this and get so obsessed with this idea of being a star, being a celebrity, being somebody who people notice. I can't remember if it's this or The X Factor, but there was a family just outside York Mead School who were on one of these shows. Well, I don't know if it's Britain's Got Talent or X Factor. I think it was X Factor. And they used to go to York Mead School, so they tipped up with the X Factor bus outside the school and everyone piled out. And all I remember is seeing Miss Pollard's face as she's trying to organise all these children and not get anyone on the road because there was a great big coach with X Factor stars in it. But there's a sense in which we want to know what's going on. We want to look at these wonderful people, these amazing things. We fix our gaze on worldly wonders, but then we miss out, perhaps, on what God is doing. Jesus was in their midst, and yet their gaze was fixed on something that was made by human hands. Their eyes should have been on Jesus. Their eyes should have been focused more on what God was doing. So what are you looking at in wonder this day? What is it that your eyes are fixed upon? Where is your gaze focused this week, particularly as we come to Christmas? What are you thinking about? Is it something of the world, or is it something a little more heavenly? But Jesus didn't just challenge us about where we are looking. There was a challenge there to wait. I remember as a youngster, not that young, I was over 18, because this is why it appealed to me, I think. But there was an advert on television called, it was a Guinness advert. You may or may not have seen it. They did several in the series, but good things come to those who wait was the tagline. And that's what Guinness used to say in their adverts. and hopefully it's going to play for you.
My brother's a hero. A champion. Everybody loves him. He's the reason I'm in Bar. Every year we have a mad race. When he reaches the boy, I start the clock. Marco against the pint. They expect. One day I'll lose, he says. Don't worry, I say. You'll never lose. It takes 119.5 seconds to pour the perfect pint. Guinness, good things come to those who wait.
I used to love that advert, and there was a series that came with it, and it worked on me. I was a sucker for Guinness then. Because I like that idea of waiting for the perfect pint. Waiting. Our world today is focused on the instant, the now, the immediate. I think we sometimes have forgotten the art of waiting, of willingly waiting for the good things to come. I don't know about you, but I do find it hard to wait. I like to be early for things whenever I can. And I get frustrated if I'm having to then wait around once I've got there early. It's a weird scenario. I get there early, then get frustrated with the fact that I've now got to wait. Whereas if I just didn't get there early, I wouldn't have to wait. But waiting willingly, hoping for what might come, is an art. It's not something that you can just do. It's something that has to be learned and developed over time. A Guinness doesn't pour and settle straight away. It takes 119.5 seconds to reach perfection, apparently. Now, obviously, just under 2 minutes isn't actually a very long time to wait. But in a world that is obsessed with the now, waiting for 2 minutes for something to be ready is actually quite significant. When we look up to the stars, we see something that has been evolving and developing over millennia. Ever since it was spoken into being by the Word, the very hands of God flung stars into space. This universe that we see has been evolving to where we are now. When you look at that kind of timescale, you begin to appreciate the idea of waiting. Waiting for something to come to its full completion. Waiting for that perfection that is promised in the Bible. This is what Jesus is calling his disciples and us to do. To be willing to wait patiently as time flows and God's plan works itself out. In the words we had in Luke, it reminded us that there will be many things, many troubles, many rumours, but the end is not yet. But the kingdom of God is near. There's a sense in which both it's not quite time and yet it's almost time in those places. So remember, willingly waiting, good things come to those who wait. My third point, wishfully watching. In our passage today, Jesus calls us to look up to the stars, to the heavens, for the signs of the ends that is coming. We all know what it's like to watch the grand finale of something. Whether it's a play or a TV series or a competition like Strictly Come Dancing, a good book or an incredible song, when we discover something worth watching, we wish that we can reach the end, but we also want to wait till we get to the end. There's a sense in which we want to get there, but we don't want to spoil it. We're wanting to reach that climax, that crescendo, as it were, hoping to see the signs along the way that point to that dramatic finish, that epic end, or that beautiful rift that comes together to complete the song, the TV show, the book, whatever it might be. There is a sense in which whenever you engage in a story, however you do that, you're doing that because you want to get to the end. You want to know what happens. And you want to look out for the signs as you go along. I was watching a film with the children yesterday and Rachel, and it was a typical kids' film. It was quite predictable, really. It was a Christmassy thing about a princess and two people who are identical, and they swap places, and the princess falls in love with somebody else, and the somebody else, they swap places, basically. But you know what? It was great, because actually, even though it was a kids' film, I started to find myself going, oh, I wonder if that's going to happen. And yeah, I bet they're going to fall in love. And then I bet they're going to fall in love. And then it's all going to end really happily. I found myself wishfully watching for the end of this film because I kind of knew where it was going. Partly because it was a children's film and I knew it wasn't going to end sad. Although still my daughter managed to get upset about the fact that a mixer in a cake show was broken and things like that. But anyway, there was that sense in which we wanted to see the conclusion. We wanted to get to the end. And our world is no different. It will run its course. It began, and it will end. There was an introduction when God spoke everything into being. Then there was the story of it happening. And we are now heading towards that conclusion. Now, we could dwell in the past, remembering the good old days. And there are things we can learn from the past. You know, we can remember that things may have been better then, when prices were reasonable, when schools and communities all came to church. But that is not now. Jesus didn't say to his disciples, hey, remember what it was like way back then? Remember what it was like at the beginning? No, he said to them and to us, we must be watching for the signs. Watching for those things that point to Jesus' kingdom coming into its full completion. We should be wishfully watching for the signs that say to us, Jesus is near. The kingdom of God is near. Now is the time to act. Right now at Christmas, we are wishfully watching as the days go by, counting down the celebrations and maybe eating chocolate from our Advent calendars or whatever you have in yours, all leading us to something that we know is special. For most of you in this room, you are wistfully watching for the day to change from the 24th to the 25th, to switch from the eve to the day that marks the birth of the most significant life that has ever lived, to celebrate the real star of heaven and earth, Jesus. So when you finish your chocolates or whatever you had in your Advent calendar, remember, Jesus isn't just for Christmas. We are called to be wishfully watching for the signs in the stars and the heavens that tell us the kingdom of God is coming. And then we need to act on that. Now, finally, my last point, point number four. And I didn't stretch it out to before, that's just how it happened. But wonderfully winning. My last point. In an uncertain world, we need to remind ourselves that in the end, Jesus wins. In the end, love wins. In the end, God has the victory, not us. We can look at our world and say it's all falling apart. Everything is going wrong. We need to just give up. There's no point anymore. We can do that, or we can remember that light cannot be overcome by darkness, that Jesus has that victory, that love, his love, will always win through. Christ has the victory over all. The only way to be certain is to hold on to our faith, even when it's shaky, even when things are falling apart around us or within us. Just a little bit of faith will keep us going. Jesus said, even a mustard seed of faith can move mountains. And God has more faith in you than you realize. God is in the business of winning. Jesus is wonderfully winning when he came to earth as a baby. He was wonderfully winning when he healed the sick, fed the hungry, saved the lost. And he was wonderfully winning when he went to the cross and died and rose again. And today, we're going to mark that victory, that wonderful, wonderful win, as it were, by sharing communion together. A reminder in an uncertain world that Christ is certain. His rock, his foundation will never be shaken. And when we share in this meal together, we can hold on to that assurance that in all things, Christ has the victory. Before we enter into communion, we're going to sing. We're going to recognise that a small and tiny baby was born in a stall. Insignificant and yet the most significant thing to have ever happened. And it was shepherds who went to that stall to see that Jesus on the first morning and then to proclaim the good news. If we want to be certain in uncertain times, we need to remember the good news of Jesus, and like the shepherds, we need to go and tell it to everyone that we meet. So I invite you, if you're able to join me as we sing, Who is He in Yonder Stall?